The message this morning comes from 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 5, and this is what it says. I charge you in the presence of God and of Jesus Christ, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by His appearing and His kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. As for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. This is the Word of God. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the Word of God stands and abides forever. May He bless the reading of it and the preaching of it to you this morning. In our text for today, Paul identifies the most important task of the preacher. Why it is so important, how it is to be done, the context in which it will be done, and the urgency of it. Verse 5 is a summary statement of the passage. It says, "As for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, and fulfill your ministry." The work of an evangelist is part of that ministry. That is preaching the gospel to bring people into the kingdom of Christ. But that is not the most important part of the ministry. So what is the most important work of the preacher? Look at 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. What does it say? It says, preach the word. That is the most important job of the preacher. So this is a message about preaching the word. Preach the word is the most prominent phrase in that passage. And that is what we are framing this message around today. First of all, I want to say that the most important work of the preacher is to preach the word because of the seriousness of the situation. So how do I know that preaching the word is the most important job of the preacher? I know because of the seriousness of the situation. How do I know the situation is serious? Paul gives Timothy a command in verse 2. Preach the word. But that command is preceded in verse 1 by a solemn charge that is intensified 5 times. Look at verse 1. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by His appearing and His kingdom. First, Paul says, I charge you. The New American Standard Bible says, I solemnly charge you. It is the word testify with an intensifier added onto the front of it. That is why the New American Standard Bible translates it solemnly charge. Now, what is the charge? In this context, to charge means to impose a duty upon, obligation, or responsibility upon someone. Paul is imposing the obligation upon Timothy and upon all preachers to preach the word. Secondly, in the presence of God. I do not speak in any ordinary way with ordinary seriousness or ordinary authority. I am telling you this in the very presence of God. Hear this command, Timothy, as coming from God, in the very presence of God. He wants Timothy to be aware that what he does is in the arena of God's presence. That God is his audience. That God is watching what he is doing. Thirdly, and of Christ Jesus. Not only is God the Father present, but God the Son is watching as well. Both the Father and the Son have a concern in this matter. As I command you to preach, you and I are standing before the throne of God with God the Father and God the Son observing the charge that is being laid upon you. Fourthly, who is to judge the living and the dead? In other words, he says, Timothy, I want you to remember something about the Redeemer, Jesus Christ. He's not only your Savior, He is coming to judge the living and the dead. And Paul is saying, Timothy, I don't want you to ever forget that the Lord Jesus Christ, under His watchful gaze, you are receiving this charge. He is coming to judge the quick and the dead. And that means you. All ministers are going to be judged in accordance to their faithfulness by the Lord Jesus Christ in the last day. The point seems to be, when it comes to preaching, the stakes are raised to life and death. And beyond life and death, to the final judgment by Jesus Christ. Fifthly, he says, and by His appearing in His kingdom. Every preacher should keep this in mind, that we preach the word of the coming King of the universe. For now, He is invisible, and people may not take you too seriously. But I'm telling you to preach, knowing, never ever forgetting, He will appear. And when He does, He will be King, and His kingdom will be openly established. And all the truth you ever proclaimed will be vindicated. And all those who have turned away with itching ears will be put to shame. He's really encouraging Timothy here. He's reminding Timothy of that thing that every good gospel preacher longs for. The day of the coming of the Lord. When every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. Of our Heavenly Father. That is the importance of preaching the Word of God because of the seriousness of the situation. But what is the substance of the message? Preach the Word is the most important work of the preacher because the Word defines the content of the message that needs to be heard. What is the substance of the message that needs to be preached? The substance of the message is the Word of God. That is the content. Verse 2 says, preach the Word. What is this Word? Ignore the chapter division at the beginning of chapter 4. And go back to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by His appearing and His kingdom, preach the Word. This charge to preach the Word immediately follows the teaching about Scripture being God-breathed at the end of chapter 3. So, what are we to preach? We are to preach the Scriptures. All Scripture. It's all inspired. It is all God-breathed. And it is profitable. And all of it makes us wise unto salvation through Jesus Christ and His Gospel. Preach the whole counsel of God and show the people that it comes from the Word of God. It is the Word of God. He is telling Timothy what his prime calling is to be. The minister's task is to publicly proclaim God's Word, to preach the divinely authorized message of God. And Paul piles up five imperatives in this little verse. Notice them. Preach. Be ready. Reprove. Rebuke. And admonish. All of them are pointing to that one central charge. Proclaim the Word. Timothy is, above all things else, to publicly proclaim the divinely authorized message, God's message to man. And he's to be ready to do that in season or out of season, whether it's convenient or not, no matter what the climate is, whether it's popular or not, whether it's welcome or not. He is to proclaim that word in season and out of season. And he's not only to proclaim what the Word positively teaches, he is to reprove and rebuke. He is to admonish. That is, he is to warn the people of God against their sins and against the errors of this world. He is to speak to our conscience and to aim for conviction with a view to repentance. He's to remind us of the consequences of sin and not tone those things down. It's easy to teach what is right sometimes without ever saying what is wrong. And Paul is saying to Timothy, it's not enough to tell the people of God what's right. You also need to tell them what's wrong. They need to know the difference, and they need to learn how to discern the difference. And that means being both positive and negative in your proclamation. And then he goes on saying, you're to admonish them. You're to have a tender, fatherly affection and exhortation to the people of God in the things which are right. Because we don't simply do the right things because we're told to do them. We need to be warned of the wrong things. We need to be encouraged in the right things. If you could simply announce what's the right thing to do and close the book and go home, that would be fine. But that's not how it works. We're tugged by our hearts to do things which are wrong. We're conformed to the mindset of the world, and we need to be warned against those things. So the Apostle Paul is exhorting Timothy to preach the Word, to preach every part of it. And that Word is what we need to hear. There is a message from God, and that is what we need to hear. There's a word here about the context in which the preacher will have to preach the Word. Preach the Word is the most important work of the preacher because it is the message that is needed no matter what the climate of our culture. Paul reminds Timothy, don't compromise in difficult times. The time will come, he says, when they will not endure sound doctrine. Wanting to have their ears tickled, they'll accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to those kinds of desires. They'll want ear ticklers. Difficult times will come. People will fall away from the faith, and people will not want to hear the Word of God. They don't want to hear sound doctrine. They just want to hear things that tickle their ears. Why is it? Why are people unwilling to endure sound teaching, sound doctrine from the Word of God? They're unwilling because they love sin. Sound preaching confronts and rebukes sin. And people with love for sinful lifestyle will not tolerate it. They just want their ears to be tickled. They want to be entertained. They don't want healthy teaching. Why? Because they've been corrupted by the world. They are too comfortable with the world, in the world. They don't want to give up their sinful lifestyles. They want someone who makes them feel good about the way that they live. Paul also reminds Timothy to be sober in all things. To be sober means to be calm and collected in spirit. It means self-controlled. It's the idea of self-mastery. It means to be steady and attentive. It's not the idea of sober as opposed to being drunk. It's not the idea of sober meaning joyless, gloomy, and morose. It means self-controlled, self-mastered, steady, attentive. It describes somebody who does not fly off in an emotional tirade. It describes a state of mental alertness and control. Here is a solid person, a stable person, a preacher who is not flaky, not trendy, not a pursuer of every whim. In the face of a changing world, in the midst of a vacillating church, in the context of a rocking and reeling society, here is a man who is rooted and steadfast and stable and rock solid, and he never compromises. And then Paul says to Timothy, endure hardship. Endure hardship. That would tell you, if it tells you anything, that a minister who is faithful can expect difficulty, not popularity. Good preachers cannot be those who yearn for the applause of the world. If you preach the Word of God, you're going to have adversity. All who live godly in this present age in Christ Jesus are going to be persecuted, says 2 Timothy 3:12. Faithfulness and hardship go hand in hand. Paul says to Timothy, suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. So that is the context that we preach in. Finally, there is an urgency to preach the Word in this text. The most important work of the preacher is to preach the Word because of the imminent spiritual danger to the flock of God. Verse 3 and verse 4 says, for the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth, and will wander off into myths. I already said something about this under the context of preaching, but Paul is giving the reason why it's so urgent for Timothy to be diligent in his work. Because there's going to come a time, Timothy, when they won't listen. There's going to come a time, Timothy, when they're going to prefer messengers of their own liking as opposed to God's men. They're going to prefer messages to their own liking as opposed to God's Word. And so, Timothy, it's urgent that you preach now and that you preach the Word. You see, the task of preaching God's message from God's Word is so urgent because of the imminent spiritual dangers to the flock of God. And as we look around us today, we see those dangers everywhere. Worship services where the Word of God is never, ever read. Worship services where the Word of God may be read and then the message has absolutely nothing to do with it. Worship services which lead the people astray with false teaching. Congregations where once the gospel was clearly proclaimed, where it's completely lost. Denominations that were once faithful to the Scriptures have departed from the Scriptures in order to please the culture, in order to find a comfort zone within a culture that is hostile to the Word of God. The imminent spiritual dangers of which Paul warns Timothy are around us today, everywhere to see. So this message is relevant for us. That is why the most important work of the preacher is to preach the Word. And that is why the Word must be preeminent in our worship services. Let's pray.